Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here on Circles of Change. It's a real pleasure always to Alaman right, sashay to the left, whatever, and tap into some really terrific things going on in the real social innovation space. And so it's a pleasure to connect with Laura Calandrella, based in Atlanta. How are you this morning, Laura?
Good morning. I'm doing really well. How are you?
Just great. I actually should say welcome home virtually because you're a native of Tucson, right?
I am. And it's the first day of fall, and this is my favorite time of year for Tucson. And so just hope you guys are enjoying a beautiful day.
We really will. Well, let me introduce Laura before we get rolling with a Q&A and a dialogue. She's on a mission to inspire the next generation of women to decide how they're going to really change the world. And then also, Laura helps them do it. As a writer, speaker, and professional coach, Laura teaches millennial women how to reinvent their social impact careers, shows innovation organizations how they can recruit and retain their future leaders, and also catalyzes conversations on really tough issues that affect people and the planet. Laura graduated from Arizona State University with degrees in biology and Spanish. She received her master's in development studies at Victoria University in New Zealand. A native Tucsonan, Laura began her journey as a change agent right here in the Sonoran Desert. She credits this astonishing natural beauty of ours in this home, the diverse cultures and the educational opportunities she received here, as really the launch point for a career that's allowed her to work on nearly every continent, tackling development challenges in some of the most beautiful yet impoverished places on this earth. Her work has been recognized by organizations like the Udall Foundation, the Rodeo Foundation, and Young Entrepreneurs Council. So as I said, she joins us from Atlanta with she and her French bulldog. They never say no to a bowl of grits or some fried okra, and that sounds delicious at this point. I skip breakfast. I want to go.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about fried okra at this point.
Yeah, that's there you go, at this point in the morning. Well, Laura, I'm sure the one question would be, oh my goodness, how a girl from Tucson could be end up being truly a citizen of the world. How did that journey start for you?
Yeah, oh, like you said in the introduction, the beauty of Tucson always drew me outside. And so I was really, really curious as a child and spent a ton of time outside in the desert. And I wanted to know more about the world and was lucky enough to get a scholarship in high school to go to Israel through the America-Israel Friendship League. And wow, what a time to be. It was 96, so what a time to be in Israel. With so much so much turmoil that was rising up. It was a year after Itzhak Rabin had been assassinated. So, I was bitten by the travel bug, obviously, mm-hmm. but then also just really, really starting to understand how complex this world is, how beautiful it is, and what a chance we have to really make a difference and connect and interact with people. So, That's where it started, and then, from there it's kind of funny because I started as a journalism major at ASU and quickly realized that all the biology students seem to have really great opportunities to travel, and I'm like, well, I like the environment. I like, you know, I could be do environmental studies, so I switched majors. It was true. I got a lot of opportunities to travel and do work abroad, and really started to dive into sustainable development, and from there. The path has been winding from there, but that's where it really started.
Well, and you know, the fact that you chose to pursue your master's degree, you know, on a different place of the planet, also in New Zealand, which is such a diverse country, isn't it? I mean, within mm-hmm. a couple hours, you can go from taking a helicopter and seeing a glacier to going through the rainforest to then go watching whales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I had, as an undergrad, I had been to New Zealand. I was working on an ecotourism project with the Maori down there. And I think the thing that fascinated me why I went back to New Zealand was because here's this first world country, that I think we tend to lump together with Australia.
Yes.
You know, they're one and the same. And it's really a Pacific island. So it deals with so many of the challenges that Pacific islands deal with in terms of immigration and health issues and economics in general. And so So I was really drawn to go back. What can I learn from this first world country with some very third world issues? And it's also amazingly beautiful.
That's right. Well, I introduced you at the onset as being a social innovator, and some of our listeners might not be familiar with that term. How would you describe that?
Yeah, it's an ever-changing term. I think that in the space, in social change space, we struggle to understand what that means collectively. I think we all have a different understanding of what it means. But what it means to me is that my work, the work that I do, is focused on finding innovative ways to tackle tough challenges socially and for me environmentally as well. And I do that more from supporting entrepreneurs who are building businesses that maybe building businesses that serve developing countries in a specific way, water issues as an example, or education issues. I also support women who are in both the public sector, so government and nonprofit, and helping them to navigate their careers. So, you know, it looks a lot of different ways, but to me, the bottom line is it's all about creating change that makes this planet better.
You betcha. Some of your own personal experiences as a social innovator, why don't we give me a couple examples of those before we go into the role of how you support others, your own life experiences.
So one of my favorites is when I was working in Brazil, I helped to develop a supply chain for acai. So I'm not sure if acai has made its way to Tucson or not, but it certainly is the rage all across the south and then up the eastern seaboard. It's a purple fruit from Brazil, and they often call it a super fruit. Are you familiar? Have you seen it?
Absolutely, I see a berry. Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm sure some of our listeners haven't, so thank you for the clarification, yeah.
Yeah, so so right now we're seeing a lot in juices and smoothies, and it's a super fruit from the Amazon, and it's touted as this wonderful thing that will change your life and make you healthier. I love those things, but it's also a staple of the Brazilian, along the Brazilian Amazon. And, you know, what we were seeing was a lot of migration from rural to urban from communities. And so they were wanting acai when they got to the cities. Why wouldn't they? But it's something that grew out in the forest. And so one of the things that I did was look at how can we create a supply chain that gets this to the cities, because there's a market for it in the city. But also, is there a way to sustainably harvest it so that we're not like planting plantations and taking down other pieces of the forest just to make this happen? So this was really one of the first supply chains in Brazil at the time, which I kind of wonder now, was that like the start of getting it to America?
Take the credit. We like that. Go right ahead. Laura Calandrelli, you heard it here on Circles of Change.
Exactly. I was responsible for that. But it was great because what it did for that community that I was working with was it allowed them to actually not have to move into the city. So it reduced their, they were able to maintain a culture and a community there. They were bringing more money into the community. Education improved. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of benefits that happened, but that's an example. And then I guess the other one is, I worked outside of Mexico City. It was actually in a community that was still within what the county, it's the district of Mexico City. But they were having a lot of development pressure from the city. And in this particular area, it's one of the major sources of water for that 20 million person city. So they were kind of at this place of deciding between, do we develop our land? Do we sell and develop our land? Or can we maintain it as it is? And so I worked with them on building an ecotourism park, or the design for an ecotourism park, which actually the success that they had there, then many, many communities that were on the edges of Mexico City started to do the same thing.
So your commitment is obviously not just do the stuff, but also create a process by which others could pattern, even make it better than on the second or third time around.
Yeah, well, and that's really what innovation is about, right? I mean, I think best practices can get us into trouble.
Oh, you bet they can.
They don't allow us to think. And so, yeah, so great, pattern it and make it better, and don't forget to ask the tough questions that need to be asked.
Well, Laura, there might be some listeners, too, that would say, well, how in the world did she get from New Zealand to Brazil to Mexico City? I mean, just advice in general, as you see, because there are a lot of young professionals that are thinking the world is their oyster. And short of going and getting the passport and the visa, what are the other steps that you can recall viscerally really doing to make that happen for yourself?
One is that I followed opportunity. I joked earlier about changing my major from journalism to biology, because that's where all the money was flowing at ASU.
Yeah.
But I mean, really and truly, I saw opportunity. I knew I wanted to travel. Kind of funny because now I've come back to writing and am writing in places that I would have that would have been in my career path anyway as a journalist. And I actually have the stories to tell now because I went down this other path. But so
in fact, and what I would tell you is you've just circled back to something that you've always been, which was a journalist, but you were collecting your material for your stories.
Exactly.
There's a lot of conversation out there, of course, with the amount of, and not just millennials, but others in generation, but particularly millennials that have a desire to really impact the world in a bigger way. And, you know, what are you seeing, you know, from your own perspective, having grown through those different phases that, you know, that we haven't seen before in the young people coming forward that want to do this now?
Yeah, I think that I find it interesting that I am really even working with my generation or millennials. I'm on the cusp of Gen X and Gen Y. I was born in 80, so I'm usually put in with the millennial generation. Sometimes they put me in with Gen X. But, you know, and how the millennials are described as entitled and overeducated and undereployed and me, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of that. But if I were to name them, I think I would name them the impact generation, or generation impact or something like that. I don't know. Because, you know, we've seen so many bubbles burst. We saw probably starting with 9/11 and the safety bubble and the housing bubble and the economic bubble. So we're kind of used to a lack of stability.
Yep.
And so what I see in this generation is risk-taking in ways that, you know, I haven't seen in other generations, especially, like I said, being on the cusp of two generations. The entrepreneurial spirit that exists within the millennial generation, if I had been born just maybe 5 years later, you know, I've wanted to start my own business since college, and I didn't have any role models for how to do that. That was something you did 20 or 30 years later.
After you had the credentials on a resume to prove you could do it, not just talk about doing it, yeah.
Exactly. And they're out there. We are out there doing it. And I think that that's a reaction to, one, all of these bubbles bursting, but two, we grew up being told we can do anything and we can change the world, and so why not? I mean, this is how you do it.
You know, so to that extent, also, you know, what do you think, you know, kind of this little bit of hindsight here, what do you wish you would have known when you started your social change career? Because I assume that's exactly how you're trying to help the millennials now step up faster.
The number one thing I wish I would have known is that I could change my mind. And I mean, it's not like I didn't understand that on some intellectual level, but you know, when I came back from grad school in New Zealand, I started working for the federal government. I was basically put into a high potential recruitment program, and moved away from the sustainable development space that I had spent the last 7 years of my life working in. And then worked in the federal sector for 6 years. And I always felt like I had given up on the first part of my career, and I didn't know that what I was actually doing was gaining all of these skills.
You betcha, that you're going to deploy in a new way.
Exactly. And, but I didn't, but, you know, I was doing really well in working for the Forest Service, I could pretty much write my own ticket anywhere. I was well respected, well networked, well compensated, and was doing work that was interesting. So I was like, well, I can't change my mind. And it took really the shock of getting divorced, of a personal change in my own life. And a change, I never thought that I would get divorced. Never. Ever. that was a decision that I made, and I, with great intention. So when I got divorced and I realized, well, I just changed my mind on the one thing that I never thought I would change my mind on, where else
had you done it? Exactly. So the idea that, I love that, that your first and foremost experience is I could change my mind. I'm thinking also in amongst this is that obviously you've also changed your mindset. And because of the number of perspectives you've got with so much, as I mentioned in the introduction, that you've traveled to almost every continent, right? And the exposure and different perspectives that has had you constantly on a learning curve, hasn't it, Laura?
Yeah. I liked it that way.
So I might have set you up a little bit there. For those of you who just tuned in, by the way, we're speaking with Laura Calandrella. Her site, it really is a call for action. It's www.laura, it's calandrella.com. And I love your tagline, amplify your impact, accelerate your vision. You're a lady on a mission, aren't you?
I am. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to support Gen Y in stepping up in their leadership. I think we're doing that already. I think that, just through some of the ways that we naturally work in the world, but I also know that journey is going to change a million times over the course of their lives, of our lives. And I just believe that we can really support one another in our growth and really start to see ourselves as leaders. And I think that once we do that, our capacity is infinite.
Yeah. Tell me about maybe a recent client that you've worked with, and how have you helped her set aside perhaps some of the things that haven't been serving her well, or help her navigate through roadblocks, turn them into signposts, whatever it might be, on the type of work, so people could get a sense of how you operate in action in that support role, Laura.
Yeah. Trying to do this without... without breaking confidentiality.
Exactly.
So let me try to think of someone who, even if, wouldn't mind me telling their story.
Now, I know you offer on your website, in fact, I saw your tagline there, that you're doing a 30 days to change something, right? Your special program. How does that work?
And right now my site is in a bit of transition, but actually what I'm launching in October is, there is going to be a 30 days to career and business reinvention for social impact. And so, what that looks like is it's an intensive program where we work together for 30 days and, really start looking at, what's your vision, not only for your work, but also for your life and how do you actually put basically a personal business model together, whether or not you want to be working as an entrepreneur or not. I believe that we all have, in this new way of working, I think that we all have, our own business model. So what are your skills? What are your, where do your skills meet your gifts and your interests? What kind of environment do you like to work in? So really starting to break some of that down. What are the past experiences that you have that, maybe could be repurposed into a new way? What is the thing that you secretly wish was part of the work that you're doing that you're not doing right now?
Oh, do we find that so often with people as I coach them through a career transition? I always ask them, so tell me about your 5-9 life, not just your 9-5 life. And you can just sense the energy in the room have just changed. And you say, so what would it look like if you could do that full time? Or how can we do both? And so do you find, have you found with particularly the millennials you've been working with, this ability to think in broader perspective, that the idea of, yes, I can make a living through this, or I can be passionate about it and I can drive it home.
Yes. I think that there is more of a willingness to go there. I mean, because I've done coaching and career coaching and leadership development coaching, you know, outside of the millennial generation. And it's either one of two ways with millennials. It's either they haven't let go of what they're supposed to do based on somebody else's rules.
You bet.
And so they're not, generally, we're not ready to work together. or they are just waiting for someone to say that you have permission.
Exactly.
You can permission. Give yourself permission.
Mm-hmm. Permission. Well, you know, I know this is a question that is easy for you to answer because I know the passion behind it, but this idea of it really being possible to change the world, for example, I mean, the war on poverty, the challenges of AIDS, the challenges with water. Talk to me about that burning opportunity that we have seen historically, and so we should be able to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we can. Actually, I mean, I wouldn't be doing this work
exactly.
if I didn't believe that we could. I think we are living in a pretty incredible time. With all of the crisis that is going on, we also are at the start of understanding human potential in new ways. And in the developed world, you know, just having enough quote unquote free time. I mean, we've gone through the Industrial Revolution.
That's
we've gone
right.
through
it's
a psychological
different...
revolution.
Sure.
We're actually starting to look at what does human potential look like? And I believe that we will be able to solve the toughest challenges on this planet when we allow ourselves to, individually go after what we really want and collectively start believing that anything is possible. And when we start believing that anything is possible, new realities begin to emerge.
You bet. It's this idea of I can change my mind, I can change my mindset, and you can also mm-hmm. do it in that spirit of collaboration and support, which your business is all about. Well, mm-hmm. again, Laura Calandrella, thank you so much for joining us. Again, for our listeners
thank
interested
you.
In learning more about Laura's passion, mission, and also the services she offered, please go to www.LauraCalandrella.com, and we're going to look forward to tracking you. Well done, daughter of Tucson. Keep going.
I'll be back.
You will be back indeed. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
You bet. Take care.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.